good crowd here today for all of our guests. Mindy?
Yes, a great crowd. I was joking that usually we have the biggest audience when there's a snowstorm. I think people really want to get out of bed when it's really cold out, but we have beautiful weather and we still have a good crowd. Must be because business is booming in Jackson. Welcome, everybody. We are at Good Morning Greater Jackson. We have our first guest, Gary Swartzlander, Program Director and Tony Curtis Board Member of Compassionate Ministries of Jackson, a nonprofit here in town that is close to my heart. It is a faith-based organization called to love and compassionately serve all people in our communities. Compassionate Ministries is dedicated to creating lasting solutions to hunger, violence, poverty, and social injustice in our community. Welcome, Gary and Tony.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So tell us, what is the mission of Compassionate Ministries?
Thanks, Mindy. What we are trying to do is build community here in Greater Jackson. We do that with partnerships with local churches, with local schools, through our food ministries. We have 47 schools and churches that we're working with. We have 13 pantries that and last month we served over 800 families in need of food. That represented about 2,000 individuals. And what we're trying to do is to give them the opportunity to get their basic needs met, but also come together, build relationships, and give an opportunity to get to know their neighbors, get to know those who they can confide in, those that they can feel comfort with. And so that's really the impetus, is building relationships and building partnerships to make that all happen.
Thank you, Tony. I know that I bring my kids out to volunteer at the food pantry at Jack's NAS, but you also, you mentioned those partners. So throughout the community, you are serving people, not just at the home site, but all across, and under different logos and different brands. You provide the resources necessary for local churches and schools to do this through their own programs.
Absolutely. We were the catalyst in 2018 for almost 300,000 pounds of food. And you go to the pantries, you don't see Compassionate Ministries' name anywhere. It's the local church that's there to build those relationships within their neighborhoods and to use their volunteers to give them the opportunity to get out, meet with the people that they see every day, and to build those strong relationships for people that give them that sense of community.
Because as a community, we're stronger together, so I really appreciate that. What is the storehouse?
The storehouse is a new facility that we are looking to construct. It is going to give us the opportunity to resource more food into the community. We have the opportunity to become a milk distributor within Jackson County through the Food Bank of South Central Michigan. And right now we're handling all of the food needs for our pantries, for our after-school backpack program, through about 1,000 square feet out at Jackson NAS Church, which is bits and pieces here and there. It was told to me we don't have square feet. We have little sections here and there. So what the storehouse is going to do for us is it give us greater efficiency, be able to address more of the needs, and also give more volunteer opportunities for people to come and help put the foods together as they're to be distributed, and also other things. And Gary could talk a little bit about our David's Promise and how those folks will be involved with the storehouse.
Yeah, Gary, I'd love to hear about David's Promise. It is a program gaining recognition and traction in the community. Tell us what's going on there and how people can engage.
Thank you. David's Promise is a program for adults with special needs. Jackson County and counties across Michigan do a wonderful, wonderful job of addressing special needs for folks roughly to the age of 26 when they graduate from their local, in our case, Lyle Torrent and Kit Young Centers, and their needs are really addressed. Their social issues and stuff are addressed at that point. Once they graduate, there just isn't a lot of resources in the community for those folks, and David's Promise is a program to help adults with special needs become viable contributors to the community. I'll quickly cite, we have a participant named Betsy, and Betsy is on the extreme end of special needs, and we met Betsy and her parents and had and discovered that when she graduated from Kit Young, that her and mom and dad literally sat at home, and their routine was go to bed, get up in the morning, watch TV all day, back to bed. They did that in a large sense for almost 6 years before finding our program and being able to come out twice a week for a couple hours. And we have specialized people who understand special needs who can work with Betsy, give her some activities to do while mom and dad can, they can hang around and help, and they do quite often. They enjoy working with special needs people, just being able to do it with others in our community. Or if mom and dad want to take off and go shopping for a couple hours or go get some lunch, they can do that because we have the staff that can work with Betsy while she's there. So it's a comfort for the caregivers as well as an opportunity for those with the special needs to have activities, gain skills, and interact with others with the special needs.
Gary, how can people help with this program or other David's Promise programs?
Several ways. The obvious for any nonprofit is that we always need money. But beyond that, you can have the chance of a lifetime by volunteering, being a part of our community. Our facility at 3737 Clinton Highway, which is out in front of Jackson Az Church, we do our programming on the lower level. The upper level has been remodeled and is a meeting facility along with a coffee bar. And our participants have all been trained on how to make lattes and mochas, and we have a regular facility there. Mondays and Wednesdays we're open from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and you're welcome to stop in, get a mocha or a latte. We have suggested prices on them, but since we're a nonprofit, if you want to stop in, get a latte and you know, donate a couple bucks, that's awesome. But we have our participants up there waiting on you and helping them to develop personal skills of interacting with the community, and it's just a wonderful thing.
So we can get a cup of coffee, help someone feel valued and provide worth, and relax in a beautiful setting.
Absolutely.
There. I highly recommend we all have meetings out there from now on.
Absolutely.
You also have a couple fundraisers or activities coming up, a pancake breakfast and a Mother's Day sale.
Yeah, on May 11th from 9 to noon at the table, which is what we call the upper level of the building. It's called the table, and everyone is welcome. We will be having a pancake breakfast. The coffee bar will be open, and on a regular basis, our participants make crafts and various things, and there are a couple or a few of those items out on the table for the donations today. Those items will be available for you to pick up for Mother's Day gifts, but stop in breakfast for adults, $6, kids, $3, and I think it's 5 and under is free. We'll have pancakes, bacon, sausage, all the goodies for breakfast. And hang out, visit for a while, look at our facility, and have a good time.
So May 11th, pancake breakfast. I caution you on five-year-olds eating for free. My five-year-old can eat a lot of pancakes.
I wasn't part of that decision.
Tony, Gary, thank you for being here. Compassionate Ministries, a wonderful organization that is helping the community. We appreciate all you're doing.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
The Chamber has an interesting, different approach to economic lunch coming up on April 29th. Greg, have you heard about this?
No.
Well, let me tell you.
I'm dying to hear it.
I'm sure you are. We're focusing on nonprofits, but not just nonprofits and all that they do, because we all know, as we just heard from Compassionate Ministries, one example of a great nonprofit in our community. But what nonprofit impacts the community, how deep into our community nonprofit work goes from the very surface level of the people they serve, but all the way down to how many people they employ and how they give back to our community. So it's going to be a great economic lunch. And in the morning, this is the new part, we are going to have learning sessions facilitated by local experts talking about collaboration, effective marketing, sustainability for nonprofits. So it's a great not only networking time, but a time to come learn. And that's April 29th. I'd like to, of course, thank our sponsors. That is Raymond, CP Federal Credit Union, Granger, Henry Ford Allegiance Health, Spring Arbor University, Accident Fund, American Office Solutions, Comerica Bank, Michigan International Speedway, JTV, Jackson College, Baker College, Center for Family Health, Commonwealth Associates, Jackson's Hit Music Station, K105.3, Huntington Bank, Manpower, Grady's Custom Catering, U.S. Staffing, Walton Insurance Group, Health Alliance Plan, and OmniSource. So thank you to all of those for supporting our economic lunches throughout the year.
Absolutely.
Come check us out.
Hey, Pat O'Dowd's back.
Patrick O'Dowd, Business Development Manager back at the Chamber of Commerce. Glad to
Welcome
have him back.
Welcome back, Pat. Pat O'Dowd. A semi-standing ovation.
If you need anything to help grow your business or protect your bottom line, contact Patrick. He can help you at the chamber. And I believe he's going to come sing happy birthday because our next guest.
All right.
Cindy Hayden from the Balloony Bin is having a birthday today. I was going to say your age, but I will leave that
happy
to you
birthday.
If you choose to disclose. And if you didn't know this, Cindy is an amazing singer and will come to your office and sing happy birthday to your employees, which she did for Patrick a year or two ago. So welcome, Cindy, the Balloony Bin. You've been open for 12 years.
Yeah, almost 13. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the variety of services that you offer at the Balloony Bin.
Well, there's a long list, but we can come to your house and decorate like this. Graduation season's coming up, so we can do open houses. And when you walked in, didn't the balloons just go like, ta-da? Didn't it make you feel like something was happening in here?
They really do.
Yeah,
they add energy and color and height.
So we make balloons. Oh, thank you. We make balloons for everything from baby showers to weddings to divorce parties. Divorce parties are really popular right now. And we always tell people if we decorate for your wedding, that we'll decorate for your divorce for half price because that's how nice we are. And there's like a 65% divorce rate, so it's pretty sure that you're going to come back and visit me. So you might as well have happy occasions for all those milestones in your life, right? So,
Cindy, I want to pause for a minute. You said you will come to my house and decorate. I don't have to come pick it up and bring it.
No, we deliver it. We'll set it up. We come back and tear it all down. And all of our balloons are biodegradable, and so is all of our ribbons. So if you choose to have a balloon launch, it does not hurt the environment. Our balloons are Qualitex balloons, which are they deteriorate quicker than an oak leaf. So you are not harming the environment. You cannot let the foil balloons go, but you can all the latex balloons. So we can decorate at your home. We can decorate for your business. We do singing telegrams. I mean, balloon animals for kids at parties. Any occasion that you want me to be the babysitter and, you know, send the kids over to the balloon lady. Yeah. like I said, we also do weddings. I'm also a DJ. And then so even our band can come and play. So we can do like the band. We can do balloon animals and decorate. We get the trifecta going there for you all. So
how did you get into the balloon business?
Well, 30 years ago, my cousin, you've probably seen the machine where you put stuff inside of it, like stuffed animals. Myers had it for a while. But my cousin in Chicago is the one that invented that machine.
No.
Yeah, he did. Believe it or not. Yeah, all of us Haydens were so smart.
And beautiful.
And so he had a store in Chicago, and I said, man, I want to start this business. So I came back here and started a balloon business, and then I decided to sell it, went to college, got my degree to save the world and be a social worker. And then after a few years, I decided the world didn't want to be saved, so I think I'll make balloons again. So our band went on tour for a while, and then when we came back, I said, let's start a balloon store again. So we started out in Kibbe Cob Market in a little tiny space over there. Then we moved to Ann Arbor Road. We were there for 11 and a half years. And now our new address is 2420 Lansing Avenue. We're right across from Larry's RV. So if you haven't been in there to see me, stop on in. It's looking better every day.
What will we see? I understand you have quite a variety of balloons available.
Yes.
Are there displays? How do we even know what we might want if we haven't seen it?
A lot of people have no idea until I tell them, so that works out well.
So you are saving the world, Cindy, one balloon at a time.
But a lot of people get ideas on Pinterest, and they come in and go, oh, you probably can't make this. I'm like, yes, we can. You know, or somebody will say, I know you've never seen this, but I want like 500 balloons on the ceiling with ribbon. Have you ever done that? I'm like, yeah, like 500 times. So, but, you know, it's the first time they see it, so it's a really, you know, to them it's like really something special. So we do a lot of gender reveals. when we first started gender reveals, I thought it was like a girl that had turned into a guy. But that's not what it is at all. That's not what it is at all. You have a gender reveal party, you're like, ta-da, I'm a man. Yep, so... But it's when you, a lot of people bring the ultrasound to me. Like yesterday, I did five of them. They bring the ultrasound to me all sealed up, so they don't even know what it is. And then I open it and put in balloons, whether it's a boy or a girl. We put them in boxes if you want. So when you open it, they come up. We do big black balloons that you can pop, and we do bouquets. So that way you can be surprised with all of your family, whether you're having a boy or a girl.
And you did five of these just yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. It's really popular. So
weddings, yeah. Gender reveal, which is a baby thing.
Yes.
And then and graduation parties and divorces. You got the whole gamut.
Yep, and weddings. We do beautiful things for weddings. So if you haven't had a chance to look at our website, I know my business card is buried on the table, but there are little Balloony Bin business cards there. So if you haven't been by to see us, come and see us.
What's the strangest event you've done?
That's a good one. I probably can't tell you that.
Okay.
But balloons are a lot of fun.
Well, I guess I won't ask the following question I had, which was, what was the most interesting thing you've created?
Oh,
but
see?
I have seen you've done an alligator and a golf bag.
Yeah.
Yep. It's amazing what you can put together.
I recently did a 12-foot toy soldier. For Christmas, it was a big nutcracker, and it was for a guy in town, Mark Konopecki, if you know him, from M&K Jetting. And Mark is, he's not easily amused, so he just loved it. He was smiling from ear to ear. So he was the only dad, I guess, that danced in the nutcracker play, and I don't even know where it was. But so they called, the Jackson Academy of the Arts, that's what it is. And so they called and said, we want to do this for Mark. So we presented him with this toy soldier. It took me 16 hours to make it, but I've got it down now.
Wow.
So I always love a challenge. If you see something and you think, well, I wonder if she can make that, just bring it to me and I can figure it out. A lot of times I dream about it. I don't sleep much, but when I do, it's either balloons or music. So,
well, speaking of music, tell us about the Blues Fest.
It's coming up. It's the 18th annual one. Wow. How many people here have been to the Blues Fest? Raise your hand. Now look at your neighbor if their hand's not up and say, loser! Greg's looking away. Have you been to the Blues Fest, Greg?
Sure.
Yeah, it's great. I can't believe it's our 18th year. We just started. We were going to try it for a couple years and see what happened. And here we are, 18 years. So I'm still working on the lineup. I do things kind of differently. I raise money first, and then I hire people, and I raise more money and hire people. That way, if it rains, you know, everybody gets paid, rain or shine, and plan B is to leave town, and I haven't had to do that yet, so.
You're not looking for sponsors, are you?
Yes, we are.
Oh.
Did you bring a checkbook? I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Yay, he did. Yes, so we have every sponsor.
Not much in it, but yeah. I brought it.
Everything from $100 level all the way up to $3,000, so you get an autographed guitar. It's brought to you by Planet Fitness. He's been my sponsor for many, many years. Ron is just a great guy, and he believed in the festival when no one else would. And so now that it's turning, you know, it's coming great, and even Experience Jackson is sponsor, that's it. Yep, Experience Jackson is a sponsor. A lot of different people in town are going, hey, this is a really good idea. So it's just great to have all those people. It's only $10 a day to get in, and if we didn't have sponsors to help cover that, it would be $35 a day. And that's how much it is in Kalamazoo and Detroit and a lot of other festivals. And we bring national acts to you, and if you've never been, you need to come. It's a lot of fun. On Friday, the first 100 kids get harmonicas, T-shirts, and sunglasses, and then they give them a little mini lesson on how to play the harmonica. So you get them all up there going, wah, 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 I'm in the fourth grade. You know, they just love it. So, if you have kids that are at the age 12 and under, come on out, and we're
grooming
new fans.
You have beer?
Yes, we have a beer tent brought to you by the Civitan Club, and we have food vendors. And this year we're not going to have crafters on the one side. We're going to sell you a space. If you want a spot for $100, you can bring your canopy, your chairs, and set it up, and you can have that space for the whole weekend for only $100. So, again, my business card is right there, or you can go to jacksonbluesfest@yahoo.com and email me and let me know. And between balloons and music, I'm living the dream.
And
my motorcycle.
And it's your birthday.
Yeah, and it's my birthday. Yeah.
Cindy Hayden, the Balloony Bin, and the Blues Fest. I can tell you, as a sponsor, not only is it good to support a community event that brings people out and keeps tourists engaged in our community, but those guitars that you give us are a spotlight in our office. Every time someone walks in, where'd you get that really cool guitar? Well, if you sponsored the Blues Fest, you too.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
So it's a great event. Thank you for all you do
for our
community.
Yeah, we've seen one on eBay. It brought $3,000.
You shouldn't have told me that.
One of the guitars. Yeah, they'll stop. It didn't bring anything. Nothing at all. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your day with balloons, because balloons make everyone happy. So.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you for putting up with me.
Happy birthday.
Thanks. We have another exciting event coming up in May, our off-the-clock event. We do these a few times a year. We are going to be at the Lean Rocket Lab, a place that a lot of people in the community are still wondering, what is that in the old Swan Creek Candle location? So May 8th is a great opportunity to come out and learn about the Lean Rocket Lab, as well as network and grow your business with other chamber members. Title sponsor is Comerica Bank, and then we have the bar sponsor, Experience Jackson, and other sponsors, Granger Waste Service and DBI. We do office. So come out May 8th, off the clock. Joining us next on stage, a wonderful-looking group, another great nonprofit in the community, the Salvation Army. We have Shannon, Development Director, Bill, Advisory Board Chairman, and Lieutenant Ross Anderson, the Corps Officer. So welcome, guys.
Good morning. Thank you.
The Salvation Army has been active in Jackson since 1885, and annually you serve over 15,500 individuals through direct services. You provide a broad array of social services, from food to the hungry, outreach for the elderly and ill, clothing and shelter to the homeless, and opportunities for underprivileged children. Thank you for that work. So let's get right into it. Tell us a little bit about your Red Shield benefit.
So, yes, we're excited. We're back for our second year of our Red Shield benefit. Last year we launched it. It was our inaugural year. And, wow, when I look around the room, many of you were there. You supported it financially with your support just by being at the event. I'm excited to say we raised over $68,000 in both pledged gifts as well as cash gifts from that event, which really propelled us forward to make some renovations to our community center kitchen, which Lieutenant Ross is going to share a little bit more about that when he talks about our community meal. But we're back for our second year because it was so successful, and it was a way for our community to come together to learn more about the Salvation Army. A lot of people think of us at Christmas time and the bells and being outside of businesses, but there's so much that we do throughout the year to serve our community. We really are serving Jackson 365 days a year. And like you said, Mindy, through the different direct services that were listed, those are just some of the ways in which we serve. This year, the Red Shield benefit, we're focusing on feeding Jackson. Food insecurity is a significant problem in our community, and we're raising awareness around that and wanting to bring community around with food. A lot of people who are struggling with food insecurity, they're also oftentimes isolated. There's a lot of factors that go into with an individual who may be struggling with hunger. And just to give you an idea, about 13.4% of our community is hungry in some way, has some level of food insecurity. One in three children in Jackson struggles with food insecurity. That's a significant issue for us. And for the Salvation Army, that's not okay. And Lieutenant Ross can share a little bit more about the history of the community meal, but we're back for the second year. We're looking for sponsors. I just want to thank sponsors we have already. Many of you are sitting in this room, so I really appreciate you guys. Consumers Energy, Commonwealth Associates, JTV, Northwest Community Schools, Michigan International Speedway, Gerdau, Jackson Magazine, Pat and Sid Chapman. So our event is on June 20th. It's going to be a Thursday here at the Commonwealth Commerce Center in downtown Jackson from 5:30 to 8:30. A lot of great components. And like I said, the theme is where food and community come together. And that's really what we're going to be focusing on and helping bring our community together around the table.
Thank you, Shannon. It sounds like a great program and obviously a great cause. We've heard a lot about this morning. I think if we all just take a moment and think about a kid going to bed hungry, you know.
It really hits you.
It does. It hits you hard. And this is a simple way that we can help those that are doing the work to solve that. So thank you for that. So, yeah, let's hear. What is this community meal program?
Well, the meal actually got started because we have a fairly large food pantry at the Salvation Army, and that's always been one of the core central ministries that we do on a daily basis. When families are coming in, regardless of their circumstance, they can come in and they can get good, nutritious food. But what we started to find out is we actually found out that one of the gentlemen that was coming was actually taking the cans of food that he had that we was given in his food box, and he would actually go into his car at night and he'd eat out of the cans, because he didn't have any place to be able to prepare the food. you know, sometimes when we think that we're giving food out into the community, sometimes it doesn't occur to us that a lot of the folks that are suffering with food insecurity don't actually have the ability to make food at all or have a nice warm meal even in the dead of winter. And that really bothered us. It really got to the core of who we are. And we realized immediately that if some of our kids are suffering from that and some of the folks that are coming into our food pantry, that we want to stand in the gap and do something about it. So we came up with a community meal. We've actually piloted it on Wednesday nights. And we're seeing anywhere of about 50 to 60 people coming on every single Wednesday. That about a third of them are children that are coming. And the meal is really about just bringing people together. You're going to notice a common theme of community here, and I think that's because people are thirsty for community. It's not just the food, but it's also the fellowship and getting to share love around a table that a meal provides, and also the dignity that that provides. So, just a couple, Shannon mentioned a few minutes ago that 13.4%, just to give you a broader figures, that's 15,000 people right here in Jackson County that are struggling with that as an issue. So this is a very real issue, and it's something that we feel really passionately about, to give people that dignity, because it's hard to even go out and want to get a job or feel good about yourself when you or your family are hungry. So this is something that we want to address.
Thank you for doing that. Is this community meal something that we could come to and engage and have conversations with or volunteer? What kind of help and support would this group be able to provide you?
Yeah, a great question. Absolutely. A community meal is open to everybody. This isn't somewhere where we want people to come into a soup kitchen and line up for a meal. This is something where we are actively wanting to serve. So if you want to come and volunteer your time or just come down and meet and share love with some folks, we really encourage you to do that, because the folks that are coming, they just want to have a conversation, share a dinner just like you do with your family or in this room as we're sitting around enjoying a nice breakfast. People want that. That's what resonates with folks. So come down, offer to share, offer to sit down and enjoy a meal. Or if you're good at cooking, come on down and show us some of your culinary skills.
I think you have a really good point. It is important for all of us to engage in having these conversations over a meal. Will not only open our eyes, but help us better understand how to serve and grow our economy together.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So thank you for that. Salvation Army, you also have a Red Shield Golf Classic. Is this you, Bill? You going to tell us about this golf?
That is my part. And I see several that have played in the past. This is our ninth year. The Red Shield Classic is in September, and I put a few of the cards on the table to save the date. Here again, like Gary and others have said, being a nonprofit, we're trying to raise money. This is our second largest fundraising event, and at this event last year, we raised $12,000, and the proceeds, as you will see on the card, last year went to launch a community education lab for our kids that are in the after-school program. This year, we're going to complete it. And two of our board members are in here, and thanks to Jeff Bontrager back there, I don't know how it all happened, but I understand now we have enough computers for this lab. And so this year, the funds that we raise will go to complete that lab, and then we will have a community education lab not only for our children, but for adults that want to come in and learn about and use computers also. So it's September 13th at Arbor Hills Golf Club. And as I said, it's the ninth one that we've done. And please, my name and all the information is on this card. So give me a call, or you can call the office and they'll get in contact with me. And it's a fun time.
Sounds like it. So you're creating opportunities for us to have fun while raising money so you guys can help the whole person be better.
That
is
true.
Salvation Army, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Mindy.
Hey, we'll take a break for the news at 8. Be right back on Good Morning Greater Jackson, 970 101.5 FM.
Now, back to Good Morning Greater Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk, 970 AM, 101.5 FM. Live from downtown Jackson, here are your hosts, Greg O'Connor and Mindy Bradishorta.
Hey, welcome. Welcome back. It's part two. Take your seats. please. Thank you. Large crowd mulling around here at the WAX.
And, of course, it's the school that doesn't follow directions. You're here. Did you hear that? That was Chris
Giannetti. Is that Jackson Public School?
Jackson Public Schools. Hi, Jeff.
Not tardy at all.
No, not tardy. The bell rang.
I was in my seat.
Just the wrong seat. Well, welcome back to Good Morning Greater Jackson. We have joining us now to round out the show, Jackson Public Schools. Starting, we have Jeff Beal, superintendent, and Chris Giannetti, director of communications. Two people everyone knows. So JPS is the largest public school in Jackson County, serving young fives through early college. And you are going to tell us about the bond passage and what's going on with the $87 million that is being reinvested back into this community. So tell us a little bit, what's going on there?
All right. So actually, before we start, can I just say something? Because it was
Can I say no?
No, you can't.
I know.
I've got the microphone.
Just go.
It was the single largest investment in public education for Jackson Public Schools, but I want to say something because Mindy said it's $87 million, but the truth is that we've been very good stewards of your money, and so through investments, we're actually going to reap about $1.8 million worth of interest, so the project is now sitting at just over $88 million, and that's because of the investments we were able to make. We were also, at the very same time, able to sell these bonds a year ago at a wonderful rate, and so we were actually able to lower the amount that our taxpayers are going to have to pay for that by more than $13 million over the life of the bond, and that will allow us to reduce the taxable rate from 6.2 mils all the way down to 4.18 mils in 2028. So just 10 years of that as opposed to the 30-year bond that we voted a year ago. So some really good things kind of money-wise when we talk about that.
Yeah, that is amazing. Thank you for being good stewards of the community's money.
Well, it's a significant project. It's a significant investment, and we take that very seriously. You know, our goal is to do this project in such a way that we get across the finish line, you know, on time and under budget. So we're working very hard with that.
And it sounds like you're making progress towards that.
Absolutely. So we have started with the first three projects off the gate. We've kind of set this up in phases, and what we have done is we've given each project an allowance, and the hard part is to make sure we stick within that allowance, and that means up front we've got to say no a lot of times because we want to make certain that we don't take from the allowance of another project that's yet to come. So right out of the gate we have Northeast Elementary School. We also have the Aquatic Center and the high school at Jackson High, and then the brand new building over at Cascades Elementary School. And those three are off and running. Northeast was the first one that we completed all the work on as far as the back end of it. And so that went out to bid. I am thrilled with our local contractors, our local vendors. We were able to award 82% of the bids for Northeast Elementary came from local Jackson area businesses. So that was just a monumental turnout for that. We were really thrilled with our local contractors and people who came and participated in that. Cascades is due on Thursday, so we'll see if we can follow up with that. Jackson High, we had some early site work done there as well, and 78% of the money that we've budgeted for the site work at Jackson High School went to local contractors as well. So some good ways that we can reinvest in Jackson and turn that back around.
We really appreciate your commitment to not only being good stewards of the money, but making sure that as much as possible that money is staying local and coming back into the community.
Well, we truly believe that what's good for Jackson Public Schools is good for all of Jackson. And so as the community has truly supported us, as they've reached out to provide for their children, you know, we have an opportunity now to reinvest in Jackson and provide local area businesses and workers and our skilled trades the opportunity to go to work and truly build our school system. So it's a neat relationship with us.
Jeff, what is the big need at Jackson High? Is it security?
So the focus of the bond was safety and security, and every building gets a specific upgrade related to that. So there's new entrances, new welcome center, new airlock kind of measures. There's also new cameras that are going throughout the district. We were the recipient of the state of Michigan, the state police, safety and security grant last fall, so we were able to leverage another $150,000 worth of grant funds to help with the project, and so we're really kind of tapping all sources to make sure we can do that. But at Jackson High, the new aquatic center is going to sit in the west parking lot, or the student parking lot as it sits, and that will incorporate a brand new office center. So if you think about Jackson High, if you've ever been to Jackson High, it's this monster 400,000 square foot building, and the offices are exactly where they're at when I went there. They're buried in the middle of the building, and so, you know, that doesn't work in today's environment. And so we've taken and relocated the offices down to the entrance. But you're going to see some conferences. You're going to see some, again, truly a welcome center. So we're looking at our schools from how can we welcome our community in, and how can we greet our community, and really how can we protect our students on the inside, so that once you come to the building, you're not wandering around a 400,000 square foot building, but rather it's a very structured event.
That is obviously a big topic across the nation. So thank you for keeping our kids safe. What's next?
So once we get past those first three, we're actually on to the next several buildings. Hunt Elementary School, which also has offices kind of buried in the middle of the building, that one gets a new entranceway, and then some new media center work and some large group instruction space. That one's on the to-do list right now. Lincoln Elementary School, a building that we haven't had open in many, many years, that building will be opening up, and so the user group for that has begun to meet, and so we're working on that project. And then also Dibble Elementary School will be the next one up, kind of with that user group that will get together and start to pull together. Now, keep in mind, these user groups are made up of parents, of community members, of teachers, of administrators, so it's a large kind of collective of people who are participating, giving input and sharing ideas and really helping us kind of drive, you know, how the design of the building is going to look. And then the first one of those, which I think is going to be Hunt, that's going to fall off, then Parkside will kick in. And because Parkside is such a significant project, again, there's a lot of work to do when we talk about safety and security and how that's going to look. We really need to kind of clear some of these smaller projects off the plate before we can kind of dig into the meat and potatoes of that project.
I know how that works. Chris, where can people connect for more information about all of this work?
Well, for a second, I didn't think I had a reason to shower this morning, but so, you know, we are doing our best on your tables. You can see that there's a bond timeline to kind of give you an idea of the upcoming projects and the phases and when the planning and development will come. We actually have done 6 episodes on progress for Jackson Public Schools and where we are with the bond. We're very interested in making sure that you guys all know what's going on with the bond, that you can see what's happening. Exciting will be the groundbreakings that we do with Northeast and Jackson High and Cascades, and you'll be able to see some of that work in progress, and that's when people get really excited. So you can follow us on our Facebook pages. You can look at our website. We have an entire tab for bond. We do videos. We do just general project updates and things like that on there. So we encourage you to stay part of the process and be excited about what you see, share what you see, come by and ask us questions. I mean, this is truly the biggest investment in Jackson Public Schools in history, and to see what's going to change and what's going to happen is really exciting, and we want everyone to be as excited as we are, because it's a long haul the next 3 years, but we're very excited. So you can check us out on our web, which is jpsk12.org.
Thank you. Jeff?
Just one last thing, because obviously, you know, I started off talking about money, and Chris talked about jpsk12.org. There is a link, I promise you, right on the very front of the page, JPS Bond. So if you want to see the videos, go there. But on there, there is a budget summary. It'll show you kind of that allowance process that I talked about for each and every project. And then more importantly, on the bottom of that page, you're going to see a box, a highlighted box, that is going to show how much money is reinvested in Jackson. So as we go through this project, we are tracking every dollar that gets reinvested back into our community through local area businesses, through local area contractors, through local area hotels, and so on. So we're working on that, and you're going to see that. I mean, I want you to think about this. There's going to be roughly $60 million worth of hard case construction. And, you know, while we started out with a bang and we had 80% kind of return on that, think about that. If 60%, if we just got two-thirds of the money reinvested, that would be $40 million reinvested in local businesses and contractors. That's a monumental investment, significant for our whole community.
Jeff, why are you reopening Lincoln? And what will that look like?
So Lincoln's going to look, again, unlike many schools, it's going to look like a brand new school by the time we're done. So when we look at our population shifts in Jackson, and we did a census data and some tracking, what we saw was that the largest boom of school-age children, ages 5 to 18, are going to take place in that kind of southeast corner of Jackson. And so some of this is very market driven. It's where will the children be and where should we be investing our money in order to serve those neighborhoods. And so if you get down into Lincoln, which is on Clark Street, right down Francis, to the what you'll find is that there's block after block after block of houses that are going to, you know, again, be the largest birth rate area for JPS in the coming years.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a lot of sense. Thank you for your stewardship and your integrity and transparency with this project. Jeff Bale, Chris Giannetti, Jackson Public Schools. Thank you. Joining us next, we have some additional Jackson Public Schools representatives. While they come to the stage, call out to our listeners, May 14, 11 a.m., we will be doing a groundbreaking for the 200, which is the brand new building on Jackson Street of 82 market rate apartments. So come check out that. And they also will have a video showing their progress. It'll be a live 24/7 video that you can see online as you see that construction happen. Speaking of construction. Well, welcome to the stage, gentlemen. We now have John Riddell, JPS Superintendent of Facilities and Finance, and Eric Weatherwax, Northeast Principal, to continue talking about the bond and the project happening at the building. So phase two of this project centers on security and technology. Want to tell us a little bit about what that looks like?
Absolutely. As we go through the bond, again, safety and security was one of our big issues. Jeff spoke very well about it. As we get onto the property, we talk about safety and security. It also involves how people move about the site. So it's trying to separate bus traffic from the auto traffic. It's the safe and secure entries with the control access, getting into the offices, how we route people. It's training of our staff through Compliance One. We're going to update all of our emergency procedures and make sure that all of our staff is trained on how to respond to situations as they arise.
And what is the design process for all of this work?
So again, the design process, I'll let Eric speak to some of this in terms of the classroom stuff, but in terms of the design process for the building, again, we have focus groups. We talk with various constituents, whether it's chief of police or some of the teachers, some of the parents of the students that go to the building, how they like to see the flow of the building, ways to get in and out of the building, how they see the learning going on. But I'll let Eric speak to some of the classroom stuff.
Right, Eric, while we're passing the microphone, I think that one of the things JPS is doing well in this project is these focus groups. I have learned the hard way that making decisions on high is not a great way to do it. I don't know the intimacies of the day-to-day activities that happen and whatever. So bringing in the teachers, the students, the families, I think is just a great way to make sure that the project is well-rounded. So thank you again for doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Much like the bond itself, it's been a community-wide effort. When we formed our focus groups first for just the furniture, we went and we had a session there where they're explaining why the furniture that we currently have in our buildings, and a lot of buildings, they just don't work for students today. And really, they're not designed for really students today. And so when we're doing it, we have parents involved, we have the teachers, Kate, like eventually, not next year, but the year after, Bennett will move over, and so we'll have a K-5 program. And so when we're forming what we wanted Northeast to look like, not just the architectural side of it, but the classroom side of it, we had the community input of the parents, the teachers, and it's important that you have K-5 because what a fifth grade student needs is much different than what a kindergartner needs.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that from my own kids.
Yeah, exactly.
What is the bid process that you guys have gone through to make sure that there is transparency and fairness?
So again, with all the bids, we submit or request bids from as many contractors as possible. We put the bids out on state websites. We advertise in local newspapers. We reach out to Jackson Area Manufacturers Association or Contractors Association. We call several of the companies to make sure that we get bids and make sure that we connect with the local contractors. As Jeff indicated, we were very successful with that in the last one.
Yeah, we absolutely appreciate that. One of the things the Chamber focuses on is making sure that we refer and connect members together, and Jeff reached out to us early on in this process to help make those connections, and I appreciate that you have followed through on that. And the people that voted with their own dollars to fund this project are often employed by or in some way benefiting from this work coming back into the community, so we really appreciate that. Could one of you remind us where we can go to get information on the bond?
Absolutely. www.jpsk12.org. Chris is clapping that I remembered. Again, JPS 2018 bond is one of the links at the top. We have the financial spreadsheet. We have all the podcasts. There's a wealth of information there.
Wonderful. Thank you for all that you do for our community and our kids.
Thank you.
Jackson Public Schools.
It's a great day to be a Viking.
Matt Swartzlander, Director of Legislative Affairs and Events at the Jackson County Chamber, going to wrap up Good Morning Greater Jackson.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming out to Good Morning Greater Jackson. We're broadcasting live from Weatherwax Hall in downtown Jackson with a full house of Chamber members. And sitting here on the comfy furniture from Vermeulen's Furniture. And thank you again to our sponsors this morning, Compassionate Ministries, The Balloony Bin, Salvation Army, and Jackson Public Schools. If you are just tuning in, you can listen to the podcast at WKHM.com. Just click on the link for the audio archive. I'd like to extend a big thank you to our ambassadors this morning, sponsored by Flagstar Bank. We have Deanna Light of Securian Financial. Round of applause for them. We have some great new Chamber members over the last month: Youth for Understanding, AirServe of Southern Michigan, Meridian Wealth and Management of Michigan, Calderon Golf Club, Myrtle and Ivy Floral, Concord Chiropractic, and Red Oak Local. Round of applause for our new members. All right, here's our upcoming events over the next month. Next Monday, we have Economic Luncheon on the 29th. May 8th is our Off the Clock. May 13th is our Chamber Golf Open, presented by DBI. Speed Networking is May 15th, back here on May 28th for Good Morning Greater Jackson. And just a reminder, there's flyers on the table and up front for Disney Institute. There are a few spots left, so if you're interested, sign up soon. And that's June 26th. And now for the list of everybody in the room this morning: American One Credit Union, Berg Insurance Services, Brown's Advanced Care, Cascades Humane Society, Center for Family Health, Graphics 3, Habitat for Humanity, Handyman Stan, Heartland Payment Services, Jackson Host Lions Club, Jackson Publishing Company, Jackson Symphony Orchestra, Jackson's Hit Music Station, K105.3, Marriage Matters Jackson, Northwest Community Schools, Pearl Vision, PostNet, Supporting Strategies, Tomco Asphalt, United Way, Transportation Audit, Recovery Services, and Ridgecrest Health System. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
And JTV, thank you.
And we'll see you May 28th.